We're beginning with Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 11, The Perfect Society, Four Social Classes, and I'm just going to read the translation to text number 27. Chaste woman must dress nicely and decorate herself with golden ornaments for the pleasure of her husband. Always wearing clean and attractive garments, should sweep and clean the household with water and other liquids so that the entire house is always pure and clean. She should collect the household paraphernalia and keep the house always aromatic with incense and flowers and must be ready to execute the desires of her husband. Being modest and truthful, controlling her senses, and speaking in sweet words, chaste wife should engage in the service of her husband with love, according to time and circumstances. Text 28. Shantushta lolupa daksha. Dharma gyan priya satvavak. Apramata suchi sindhikta. Patim tva patitam bhajet. Shantushta. Always satisfied. Alolupa. Without being greedy. Daksha. Very expert in serving. Dharma gya, being fully conversant with the religious principles. Priya, pleasing. Satya, truthful. Vak, in speaking. Apramata, attentive in service for a husband. Shuchi, always clean and pure. Snigda, affectionate. Patim, the husband. Tu, but. Apatitam, who is not fallen. Bhajet, should worship. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Chaste woman should not be greedy, but satisfied in all circumstances. She must be very expert in handling household affairs, and should be fully conversant with the religious principles. She should speak pleasingly and truthfully, should be very careful, and always clean and pure. This chaste woman should engage with affection in the service of a husband who is not fallen. Purport. According to the injunction of Yajnavalkya, an authority on religious principles, Ashude Sampratiksho Hi Mahapataka Dushitaha. One is considered contaminated by the reactions of great sinful activities when one has not been purified, according to the methods of dasha vida samskara. In Bhagavad Gita, however, the Lord says, namam diskritino muda prapadyante naradama. Those miscreants who do not surrender unto me are the lowest of mankind. The word naradama means non-devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also said, ye vaje se bada abhaktahina chara. Anyone who is a devotee is sinless. One who is not a devotee, however, is the most fallen and condemned. It is recommended, therefore, that a chaste wife not associate with a fallen husband. Fallen husband is one who is addicted to the four principles of sinful activity, namely illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. Specifically, if one is not a surrendered soul, not a soul surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is understood to be contaminated. Thus a chaste woman is advised not to agree to serve such a husband. It is not that a chaste woman should be like a slave while her husband is Naradama, the lowest of men. Though the duties of a woman are different from those of a man, a chaste woman is not meant to serve a fallen husband. If her husband is fallen, it is recommended that she give up his association. Giving up the association of her husband does not mean, however, that a woman should marry again, thus indulge in prostitution. If a chaste woman unfortunately marries a husband who is fallen, she should live separately from him. Similarly, a husband can separate himself from a woman who is not chaste according to the description of the Shastra. The conclusion is that a husband should be a pure Vaishnava, that a woman should be a chaste wife with all the symptoms described in this regard. Then both of them will be happy and make spiritual progress in Krishna consciousness. Next verse. The woman who engages in the service of her husband, following strictly in the footprints of the goddess of fortune, surely returns home back to Godhead with her devotee husband and lives very happily in the Vaikuntha planets. Purport. The faithfulness of the goddess of fortune is the ideal for a chaste woman. The Brahma Samhita 529 says, Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambrahma Sevyamanam. In the Vaikuntha planets, Lord Vishnu is worshipped by many, many thousands of goddesses of fortune. And in Goloka Vrindavan, Lord Krishna is worshipped by many, many thousands of gopis, all of whom are goddesses of fortune. A woman should serve her husband as faithfully as the goddess, of fortune. A man should be like an ideal servant of the Lord, and a woman should be an ideal wife like the goddess of fortune. And both the husband and wife should be so faithful and strong that by acting together they return home back to Godhead, without a doubt. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya gives his opinion. Hari asmin stita iti strina bratari bhavana bhavana Shishanam cha guru nityam shudranam brahma nadishu brityanam swamini tata hari bhava udiritaha. A woman should think of her husband as the Supreme Lord. Similarly, a disciple should think of her as of the spiritual master as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shudra should think of a Brahmana as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And a servant should think of his master as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This way, all of them will automatically become devotees of the Lord. In other words, by thinking this way, all of them will become Krishna conscious. Srimad Bhagavatam says at the beginning, Dharmat Priyojita Kaitavo Tra Paramo Nimatsaranam Satam. That the Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out all pretentious religions and establishes pure dharma. Dharma priyojita kaitava. Kaitava means cheating religions. A religion is, religion comes from the English, to regulate. And all activities are meant to be regulated in the service of Krishna. And cheating religion means, specifically religion, which is meant for economic development, sense gratification, without any thought of what real dharma is or the path to liberation. If one is following such a so-called religion, then Krishna says, Sarva dharma prichaja, mame kam sharanam braja, ahang tvang sara papebhyo mokshi syami ma suchaha. That one should give up all these so-called pretentious religions, or all these religions that are pretentious, and surrender to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna means to follow his instructions. his instructions are coming from? Well, he spoke his instructions and to his devotees, and they wrote them down as, or repeated them in the form of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Krishna is also in the heart. It is not that Krishna went somewhere else, although he did externally go somewhere else. Krishna is the Dharma Upagavate. Dharma Jnana Jivisaha Kalo Nashta Drishta Mahesha Pararanarako Dunoditaha. Krishna, he went to his abode along with Dharma, religion, and Jnana, actual real spiritual knowledge. But he left behind the Bhagavatam. On the other hand, Krishna never left our heart. We can't. From him comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Therefore, we can't do anything without Krishna's sanction. The problem is, Krishna is sanctioning things that are outside of Krishna consciousness for us. And therefore, sometimes we remember Krishna, if we follow sadhana bhakti especially, and sometimes, or often, depending upon our level of advancement, we forget what we're doing, why we're here, what the purpose is, how to do our service with care and attention, etc., in Krishna consciousness. But Krishna is there to remind us, if that's what we want, if we're considerate before we do something, what does Krishna want me to do? If we inquire. Therefore, Krishna says, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshana. One should learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master and inquiring submissively. So that inquiring submissively doesn't mean that, yeah, my initiating guru or some devotee comes, I ask a question, then my business for the day is finished. If I can think of a question. Dear Guru Maharaj, why is the sky blue or something like that? No, actually we're always supposed to be inquisitive. What does Krishna want me to do under these circumstances? What does he want me to say? How does he want me to think? That's called Krishna consciousness. Tad buddhyas, tad atmanas, tad nishtas, tad parayanaha, gajanyapana avritim, jnana nirdu dakamasha. Well, one's faith, let's start from when that time, tad buddhyas, one's intelligence, tad atmanas, one's self, tad buddhyas, tad atma, tad nishta, one's faith, tad parayana, one's refuge. Tad buddhyas, tad atmanas, could mean the mind, could mean the soul, but generally I guess it would be the mind. The intelligence, the mind, the refuge, the faith, are all fixed in the Supreme. Then one becomes fully cleansed of all misgivings through complete knowledge, and thus proceeds straight on the path of self-realization. Vidya vanaya sampane brabhi gavi hastini shunitaiva swapakecha pandita samadarshana. Then one treats all living entities as Krishna's eternal servants. And one becomes a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna through the line of acharyas. And then Krishna will give one the intelligence how to deal with every living entity appropriately to help them become Krishna conscious, because that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. But if we're not using our intelligence, we're not using our mind, we're not using our refuge, we're not using our faith, tad buddhyas, tad atmanas, tad nishtas, tad parant, gachantnyapuna, avriti, then we'll be carried away by illusion to one degree or another. For instance, we may be engaged externally in devotional service, and to that extent we're engaged in devotional service, but at the same time our intelligence could be somewhere else. We may not be seeing things in relation to Krishna. Or we may even be seeing things in relation to Krishna, but our desires may be somewhere else. Or our faith, we may be even remembering the instructions, Bhagavad Gita, we may have been trying to think about Krishna, but our faith is somewhere else, what we're actually interested in. And Parayana, our refuge. We may even believe Krishna is God, but we're taking shelter of so many other things at the same time. In case Krishna doesn't work, then we have so many backups. Like Queen Draupadi, she was hanging on to her sari, and Dushyasana was dragging her. She had one hand calling out to Krishna, but only when she put out two hands and said, Govinda, that Govinda came and protected her. So we're lucky to put up one hand and call out for Krishna. Or even a finger, Krishna, help. And Krishna won't help because we have all the other fingers down. Now, in this particular verse, there are so many things about a chaste woman. So how many women in modern society are chaste? How many of them want to serve the husband as a keeping the house clean and being clean themselves and being affectionate and being all these other qualities, not being greedy, expert in handling household affairs, fully conversant with the religious principles, speaking pleasingly and truthfully, very careful and always should gauge in affection in the service of her husband. But the husband shouldn't be fallen. So nowadays everyone's fallen. There's no training. There is training. There's training how to become a expert cat or maybe a dog. Training how to put on makeup so even though you look like you're 90, you're actually 90 years old, you look like you're 20. That if you learn that art, then you're considered expert. That's all you need. And before you get married, you say a few pleasing words. And then after you get married, then you let it all out, what you really think. I got you, now I can eat you up. It's time for breakfast. And the man also, I'm strong, I am capable, I am dependable. After the show goes on, and infatuation, and in the infatuation, I actually believe that this person will actually protect me, this person actually will maintain me. Then afterwards, you know, he goes, I'm tired, why don't you get a job? But I have three kids. And again, get them to get a job too. So people are trained up like cats and dogs, and the result is Varna Sankara. The children, they learn from their parents how to be future parents. If their parents are cats and dogs, then they'll become a cat and dog too. And even the parents are devotees or trying to become devotees, if they're associating with cats and dogs, then they'll become a cat and dog too. And association is, in this age, is not only by who your schoolmates are, although that's very significant. You can spend a whole day, many hours on the internet with all kinds of demoniac people and things. And the cats and dogs will seem like they're civilized compared to what you'll become. So, for people who read the Bhagavatam, the social divisions, people think that this is, you know, this impractical. Or they'll actually get angry. How dare you put, you know, demean women like that? They're going to become servants. Little dirt is not so bad. Why are you against dirt? You know, affectionate, yeah. For sense gratification, we can display affection. That's all right. So people are so foolish, their intelligence has been taken away by illusion. Aneka chinta vibranta, moha jala samavrita, what is it? Aneka, aneka moha vibranta, moha jala samarita. Aneka. Aneka means numerous. Aneka moha, an illusion. Aneka chitta vibranta, moha jala samarita. So being bound by being absorbed in numerous anxieties, chinta, being overwhelmed by illusion, by perplexity, actually, vipranta means perplexity, moha jala, and by being bound by a network of illusion, the demoniac, prasakta kama bogeshu, they become too much attached to sense gratification and fall down into hell. So people who train like that, there's no brahmachari training, there's no grihastha training, practically speaking. How many, this idea of brahmachari is supposed to study the Vedas, become, learn service to the guru, because they think they don't believe in the guru. And even if they believe in a guru, even we know about guru, we don't know what the qualities of a guru is supposed to be. We think if you know some verses, then you're a guru. Whether you apply them or not, whether you remember them or apply them, whether you've understood them, whether you have relationships based upon them, these things are not so important to people. Therefore, they have no guidance how to become submissive, because they see their leaders aren't submissive either. So they follow their leader, yes, perfectly. And they become just as unsubmissive as their leader is. Brahmachari guru kule vasandanta guru arhitam achavan dasavanicho guru saurida surida. So there's qualities that a brahmachari is supposed to develop from the age of 5 when it's possible. They're supposed to be servants of the guru. So, for instance, when they become anicho, humble, after all, we're all criminals being in this material world, 1/10,000th the size of tip of hair in size, living entities, inquiring a body, a false ego, thinking oneself to be very great, but one is always insignificant in any circumstance, trying to become bigger and greater, but impossible. We're always 1/10,000th this tip of hair in size. If we follow someone great, a great devotee, then we can manifest through Krishna's energies, through Krishna's mercy, great activities. But they're Krishna's activities. They're not our activities. It's only due to our surrender to a great soul, through the instructions that they're giving us, that we can be utilized as Krishna's instrument. Although, in any case, even when we utilize his instrument, we become more important in Krishna's eyes, but we're always insignificant. So, nicho, danta, controlling the mind and senses. So if one is trained in brahmachari life, then one can actually become a proper grihastha and perform yajna, dana, and dhammas. As one learns to control the senses in brahmachari life, so one continues to control the senses in household life. Otherwise, it's not possible. If you spend your whole life playing video games and watching things that you're not supposed to be watching, then when you get a householder, you think that now is the time to exploit. They don't see it as an ashram. They see it as an opportunity to exploit. And when I get tired of exploiting you, I find someone else to exploit. So there's no question of sense of mind control or danas, giving in charity, dana. No, it's everything's for me and my wife. Food for me and my wife. Food for what? For life. Food for me and my wife. And as far as yajna, the yajna means make money and enjoy the senses. That's the yajna. The only fire sacrifice I throw anything into, put anything into, is my stomach. Sacrifice for Jagna Agni. So if people are trained how to become a brahmachari, then they can become a proper grihastha and make spiritual advancement. And if they're trained as a proper grihastha, they can become a proper vanaprastha. And if they're trained as a proper vanaprastha, they can become a proper sannyasi. But in this age, because of the emergency, as Prabhupada wrote, we haven't been trained at all from the beginning of life. Even one goes to Gurukul nowadays, one doesn't know, you know, one studies academic knowledge often, and one is not really taught to be submissive to the guru, to be humble. Brahmachari Gurukul, Vasandanta Guru Arhitam, to work for the benefit of the guru. No, the guru is just a teacher. The teacher is just a teacher. You're learning academic subjects and a little bit of Krishna consciousness thrown in, maybe a kirtan or two, and a reading from Krishna book. But anyhow, it's better than nothing. Even that kind of gurukul is certainly better than nothing. Although it doesn't exactly meet the point that our next stage is either one is perfect, he becomes a sannyasi, one is very advanced, or he becomes a householder. And there you're supposed to study, you're supposed to perform sacrifice for Vishnu, given charity to Vishnu, and control your senses. So brahmachari life is meant to train one to do that, so that if one becomes a householder, then he can be a proper householder. So any training besides that is superfluous. There may be other aspects of proper grihastha life, but if those three things are not met, then we miss the whole point, what a grihastha ashram is. And unless one is being trained to become tapa, austerity, then the whole point of grihastha life is missed. We can miss the point of brahmachari life, we miss the point of grihastha life, and even if one is learning austerity, if one doesn't realize that one is supposed to become fearless, pure in heart, and full of transcendental knowledge, then the whole idea of tapasya is missed. And if one gets those qualities and doesn't become a pure devotee of Krishna, or try to become a pure devotee, then the whole point of sannyasa is missed. In any case, since we're always using, we're missing the point, we should at least try to learn how to chant Hare Krishna happily. Give up our anxieties, as Krishna says. Chintam aneka chitta vipranta moha jala samavritaha prasakta kama bogeshu patanti narakena sucha. So even if we miss the whole point, or even if we're missing the point, at least we should chant Hare Krishna offenselessly, at least try, so that somehow or another Krishna will give us the intelligence what the whole thing's about. So we're starting from the top, and if we take shelter of the top, then the other things will be filled out gradually. Whatever our situation is, we'll learn how to do it better for Krishna. Get free from all these anxieties which cause all the problems that we have. Our attachment to being in anxiety, our attachment to being bewildered, our attachment for being in illusion. We have to try to get rid of them and find out real knowledge. Not become overwhelmed by unnecessary anxieties which have nothing to do with reality. So therefore this process, which is supposed to bring us into Krishna consciousness, will shine the light and we'll realize that I'm just wasting my time being unnecessarily in anxiety, hankering for things that won't really benefit me or have anything to do with my eternal self. And at the same time, being bewildered by so many contradictions, seemingly contradictions, thinking that, you know, they have this opinion, this other person has this opinion. But the ultimate opinion is we should think about Krishna, whatever the opinions are. And at the same time, we should get out of our illusion that something else is going on other than Krishna. and that I have some other purpose other than to serve Krishna. We do that, then we'll gradually make progress through the chanting of the holy names, serving the deities, etc. And then you can actually have real husbands and real wives. Even though we have household life, we can actually have proper householders. Of course, first we should have proper brahmacharis. Since we're here, and there's some brahmacharis. We should learn how to become a real brahmachari. Not that I'm too advanced, I'm too strong, I'm too this or that. How can I become a real brahmachari? I just have too many good qualities to become a brahmachari. Too many good assets. No, we become a brahmachari. Then, even if we want to become a householder in the future, then we actually, a household life will actually have some meaning to us, some help for our spiritual advancement, etc. And if we really are serious about brahmachari life, we can avoid it and try for actually becoming Krishna conscious directly. In any case, we should try to understand things properly, so that, and the ladies also. This idea that ladies have to become men or this or that. No, ladies have a certain mentality. It doesn't really, but this is not our mentality because we're not ladies and men. We're spiritual souls. And when you really get down to it, everyone just wants a, you know, nice, comfortable house. And the men are not going to create that usually. Because maybe men who are like women nowadays may be able to, maybe be able to create it to some degree. But you need a comfortable house, clean house, nice food, nice decorations, affection, comfort. The ladies are more expert at that. But that's what people are really looking for. Why are people trying to make so much money? Why are they trying to get so much? What are they hoping for in their house? That's what they're hoping for. But they don't have time for it. And they don't have the training for it. And therefore there's so much divorce and fighting and exploitation. That's what the husband wants. That's why he'll work hard. And that's what the lady wants. That's what the children wants. That's what a family wants. But they're missing it. They're just trying to get money to decorate their house, decorate their bodies, and then fight with each other. So, the conclusion is, we should actually be trained, those who are willing to be trained, should be offered the opportunity to be trained, to become proper brahmacharis, proper ladies, proper madhujis, proper grihasthas, proper brahmacharis, proper grihasthas, proper vanaprasthas, proper sannyasis. And then society will actually be composed, at least some part of society, of human beings, rather than cats and dogs. With two legs, who are actually imitating human beings, but are actually animals. Externally trying to make an appearance of human beings, but inside are animals, less than animals, and then wondering why there's so many problems in society. People can't figure it out. It must be either it's the Illuminati's or it's the, your, just conspiracy theorists, so there's so much speculation. But actually the problem is that we don't control our mind and senses and use them in Krishna's service. That's the problem. And any other thing that we're trying to solve without solving our own problem of utilizing our mind and senses in Krishna's service is just bound to be a waste of time. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
How does, we heard like from 5 to 25, 25 to 50, is there like this changes of ashram. So how does one know from brahmachari to grihastha, from grihastha to vanaprastha, from vanaprastha to sannyasa, when to change this or how does this go?
Well, there's always the general principles, just like it says here that a lady should stay with her husband as long as he's not fallen. So anyone can take any one of these statements and just apply it wrongly or incorrectly. For instance, you take a lady, she has 3 children, she decides her husband's, you know, he's gambling sometimes, so I'm going to quit my husband and take my 3 kids away. I'll leave, because it says they're right there in the Bhagavatam. He's fallen. I'm leaving. Then after some time, one realizes, I can't take care of these 3 kids. I don't have the income. I don't have the patience. I don't have, you know. So then one looks around, it says for another husband to help me take care of these kids. So it wasn't so easy. In other words, the decision to leave the husband may be necessary, but then you may have to, because then you take shelter of the verse, and then you find out you're going to violate another part of the verse. So it's complicated. In other words, anything that's done should be done very, very carefully. Simply change of ashram. You know, I'm 25, now I'm supposed to change ashram, because it says there in the Bhagavatam. There's probably 100 other factors we have to consider. Am I going to make any money? Have I been trained to make anything? Who am I going to marry? What are their aspirations? How many kids do they want? Where do they want to live? What kind of service they want to do? Are they devotees? You know, there's 100 different things we're supposed to consider, but we think, wow, my God, I got up to 5, my brain's burning, I forget it. Just go for it. So you have to consider, and then if the more we consider the factors and assimilate them and inquire, then the more likely is that we're going to come up with the best solution possible. Previously, the children didn't make these decisions, especially marriage. So the parents, they did an astrological, they had real astrologers, they did a matching according to the Gotra, according to your family, their similar tastes, similar inclinations, etc., etc. The children would meet each other when they were like, as Prabhupada said, he met his wife when he was like 7 years old. I think they may have gotten married late, maybe they were 10 years old when they got married. They didn't live with each other, but she'd serve him, bring him some prasadam or something. That way they developed the relationship. And she knew no other man except for that man. And she knew that this is my husband. So she was peaceful. And therefore, you know, when they had children, usually at a young age, and then they didn't know anyone else except for each other. And they were dutiful. They were living in a joint family. The grandfather was there, the parents were there, the cousins were there. And they look after, they knew, they went through this whole thing through generations. They knew what all the problems of marriage life were, most of them. And you had someone to turn to, or they'd look after you. They correct you on the way. And you were taught submission from your childhood. So you'd actually listen to people when they gave you good advice. And so it went on generation after generation for the most part. Even though there were some problems, because there's always problems. But the family traditions went on. Now we're in Kali Yuga. We ourselves are Vana Sankara. We weren't born through Garbhadhan Samskara. And, you know, we're trying to figure out what to do. Well, we should consider very carefully what we do, especially changing our ashram. Or else we'll always be changing ashram. There are devotees who've gone through brahmacharis, become grihasthas, back to brahmacharis, decide to try out sannyas, back to grihastha. And just went back to the material world. They renounced Krishna consciousness. It's the only thing they had any truly renounced in their lives is Krishna consciousness. <laughs> So we really have to be careful in what we do and think about it and see if all the pieces fit together and then do it. Not that we try to go from one ashram to the next and hope the piece is going to fall from the sky. When he gets to say, Krishna, I thought you were supposed to help send what I needed. So 25 is a proper age. And then if it's properly performed, the first part was properly performed. From 5 years old, we went to a real Gurukul and actually got trained there. And then from 5 to 20 or 25, whatever, we went through the Brahmacharya Ashram and got trained. And then at 25, got married and learned how to be, were proper Grihastha and were trained by other Grihasthas or by our parents or grandparents, whatever, to be a proper Grihastha. We went through that for 25 years and took shelter of someone who was actually real Vanaprasthas. And then being guided by them, then at 75 took sannyas under the guidance of real sannyasis. We'd be doing quite well. If not, before we rush into the ashram, we should see that we have the proper guidance, the proper understanding, the proper arrangements are made so that I don't have to go back and forth. And as soon as I get married, think, how did I get into this? As soon as you leave the wife, you think, how could I have left my wife? This is too much. I should do things intelligently, with proper preparation. So I think we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.